be honored in all that we do and everything that is said. I thank you for each one that is here, their lives, their families, the ones that they love. I pray increase over them today. Increase to do and to be everything that you have called and created them to be. I ask you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Just a couple things before I start today. Actually, Garrett, will you help me? Garrett, you did such a good job. Will you come up and grab a handful of Bibles? Maybe Ryan, maybe he'll come up too. Little Ryan, you come on up. Yeah. And grab, see those DVDs there? Grab those. Now, I know some of you might not know what a DVD is, but as I was sitting there today and we were worshiping, these two things came to me. Some of you don't have a Bible, and you need one. So if you don't have one, you want my handsome, blonde-haired, single son to bring you one, raise your hand right now, and he will bring you a Bible. There's right back there, Garrett. Now, these DVDs, I made these several years ago. They're called What Next? This is about for somebody that you've made a decision for Christ. Maybe you're just moving through life and you're wondering. If you have a DVD player, I want to give you one of those. All you got to do is raise your hand, and my handsome grandson will bring one of these to you today. Raise your hand. See these hands going up. Take them out there, Ryan. Keep the hands up so they can see. This is one of my finest works here, by the way. So make sure you get everybody. Keep your hands up so he can see you. Anybody else need a Bible? Wave at Garrett or just yell to Garrett. Say, Thor, bring one to me. I'm going to pay for this, too. I just want you all to know. Ryan, way over there, too, buddy, okay? You see that? Good. This week, there was, yesterday, actually, another tragic shooting in California at a synagogue that took the life of one and hospitalized others. It is just so sad that that would happen in any house of worship anywhere. And I want to remind you that we need to pray continually for our nation, for our country, for wisdom, and also pray for that congregation at that synagogue in Poway, I think I'm saying it right, California. And I also want to tell you that before you leave today, you make sure that you see the police officers that we have here and tell them thank you. In fact, can we clap our hands for them right now and thank God for each of them? I'm grateful for them being here. They're not here to harm anybody, but they're here to help us all. And you can rest assured that there are people in the congregation and outside when the big kids aren't today next door, but we have people there, have people upstairs, and your families are safe. Are you grateful for that? And, you know, and I was talking to Chris earlier. I know nobody thinks that can happen in your, you know, in our region, in our city. And I pray that it never does happen. I really do pray. Because we pay those guys to be here. You pay them. Amen. You need to know that we every month, that's an expense that we didn't plan on 10 years ago. But we are willing to sow that, to pay that, so that we can say in 5, 10, 20, 50 years that nothing like that ever happened in our houses of worship. Okay? I want to talk to you just for a few minutes this morning about next, my next, your next. And, you know, I'm very cognizant of seasons, and I pray that we'll see a warmer season. I looked out my window yesterday, and I, like we were in a little blizzard up on the farm. I'm like, Lord, where are you? Are you coming back today? Why is this happening? But with seasons, I really believe this, with natural seasons, there are times of spiritual changes and spiritual seasons in our lives, too, when things change. And I've always felt that the time after Easter is a time where hopefully we can refocus on who Christ is, not only who he is, but who he is to us personally, and the power of the cross, and what he has done for you and I. And hopefully we'll see life even a little clearer so we can understand, okay, I need to make some decisions. And for some, it's a brand new beginning. It's brand new for some that have given their lives to Christ for the first time. All things begin to become brand new. The scripture says in Romans 10:9, this is how it happens, that if you confess with your mouth and you, the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. That doesn't mean that you come to him and you got all your issues and problems worked out. No, he takes you and I right where you are, just the way you are, and he loves you. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you and I. He takes you right where you are. But when he takes you where you are, he begins to do things inside of you. He doesn't change on the outside. He begins to transform you from the inside out. You begin to talk different. You begin to think different. You begin to act different. You don't have the same desire to go to the old places that you used to go to. And for some of you, and man, I felt this so strong in my heart. I just put this in my notes last night. But for some of you, it's a moment, it's your time of maybe letting go. Maybe it's letting go of someone. Maybe that's the hardest thing. And you may think, boy, that just sounds hard. But if you are or have been in a toxic relationship where you are being used and abused, my brother and my sister, it may be time for you to pull the pin on that wagon and move on. And not allow that to define you. Some of you need to let go of something maybe that has happened to you in your life. Maybe a negative experience. Maybe letting go of some unforgiveness or letting go of a preconceived idea or an opinion of somebody or even of yourself. Now, I am so cognizant that when I communicate with people that the negative opinions that people have of themselves are just stifling God doing anything in and through them. And let me tell you something, you need to let that go. And if you weren't here last Thursday night, Brad T., he ministered an incredible word on partly his testimony and the word of God, how God transformed his life. And I'm telling you, he just doesn't do that for a particular one or two or 10 people. He will do it for whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come on today. And just as that song we sang today, letting go and trusting when I cannot see. You want to know what faith really takes part in your life is when you make those decisions and you can't see what's in front of you. Oh my goodness. I could talk about that for the next week, solid. Making a decision, not knowing what the end is, not knowing how God is going to work it out, not knowing even if he will work it out. But for some of us, you got to let go so you can see what he wants to do for you. And maybe for some of you, you just need to stop saying the words, I can't do that so much. Maybe you need to stop saying things like, I'm too old to do that. Do you know that I won't is the brother to I can't? And when I talk to people and they say, well, I can't do that, it's not that they can't do it. It's that they've made up their mind they won't do it. And my brothers and my sisters, this is a season that if you're going to move into the next, into the purposes and the plans that God has for your life, you and I must let go of some of those old preconceived notions and ideas in our head that we can't do that. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Come on today. I said you can do all things. If you go away with nothing else than just that today, God will use that in your life to take you and move you to places that you couldn't even dream of. Someone, you may need to stop looking at someone else with critical eyes and judgment all the time and thinking, well, why are they where they're at, and how come that happens to them, and woe is me, and nothing ever good happens to me. Stop that. Stop that. Move into the place where if God can do it for them, he can do it for me. I've always wanted to get around great men and women of God. I've set my life to travel, to go, and to be with some of the greatest men of God that are alive today. And I've always found it interesting. Sometimes I've had others around me at that time, and they leave, and they're discouraged because they say, well, I could never be that. Oh, I'm always encouraged because if God can use that mortal man to do something great, he could certainly use this mortal man to do something great. And I want to be around people like that. I want to be exposed to people like that because God has this longing to do something great and incredible in and through your life and in mine. And in seasons, Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season. The Living Bible says it this way. He says that there is a right time for everything. I love that. And this could be your time. This could be your moment. Rain, cold, supposed to be warm and sunny. But that doesn't matter to God's timing. He will move whenever we will open up our heart and say, come on, Jesus, I'm here ready right now. How many of you are ready for God to do something great in your life today? There is a right time. This could be your time. And it is vital that you embrace what he has for your life. Stop saying things like, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too skinny, I'm just the right weight, or whatever. Start saying, God, you can do that in me. And the Bible says in Proverbs 29:18 that where there's no vision, people perish. In the New King James, in the New International, it says where there's no revelation, people cast off restraint, and they go and do whatever they feel like doing, and they just go in any direction that they want to go because they have no vision. And I believe that nothing great will happen in your life unless you couple it with a vision. You can see what's ahead, not in the natural, but you can close your eyes and you can begin to dream what God has and wants for your life. Let me tell you something. What we're standing in today, it didn't just happen. I thank God for all of the people that have come alongside over the years. But I remember in moments in my life when some of this happened. I remember standing in my dining room and praying for a church. I prayed for a church. And God reminded me of this years later. I wanted a church that when people sat, I could look up to them instead of me being way up on top and me looking down at people. And I prayed that, and I don't even know where that came from. And then years after we were in here, I'm standing right here, and I'm looking, and the Lord said, remember that dream that you posed to me years ago. God will bring those things to life if you have a vision in your heart. And you can never do the great things in your life by just hoping, well, I hope tomorrow will be better. You got to couple it with something that God relays and drops in your heart and live with the vision in your heart for where he has and wants you to go. Proverbs 29:18 says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. I love that. The word blessed there means to have a contentment in your life. Hey, some of you, you're just going in a myriad of directions and there's no contentment in your life. And God wants to bring that peace to you. He wants to bring that life to you. David said in Psalm 16:11, you will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. Man, I like that. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He says, but I've come to give you life. And to give it to you more abundantly. And life is not experienced to its greatest by just doing what we can make happen. I'm looking at some talented people, gifted, talented people. And if all you are experiencing in your life is what you can make happen, you are only scratching the surface. Because when you lay your hand, your life in the hand of God, now he takes what he can do in your life, and now he makes something great happen for you. This is what God can do. You have to lay down your ability to make everything happen and put your life in his hand. Some of you are struggling for a spouse. You've tried everything you know to do to get the right man or to get the right woman, but you've not laid your life in his hand and say, I'll wait for you, Lord. I'll do whatever you want. Then when you do that, he'll bring the right one to you instead of you trying to do it. Let me tell you something. If I married every woman when I was a teenager that I thought I loved and I thought, oh man, if I could only have that. God knew that I would make a mess out of my life. He knew that he had the hot blonde chick set aside for me. And when I'd brighten up and listen to him, he'd give her to me. Honey, I ought to hear a good amen out of you right there. When he's a part of what you're doing, he makes what you're doing greater. Listen to that. Whether you're in business, whether you have a job, whatever you're doing, when you allow him to be a part of what you're doing, he makes who you are and what you do greater. He'll take all the parameters off. He'll take the limits. He'll take you far beyond anything you could even imagine or think of. Paul said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, he said, I don't care about my own life. That doesn't mean he didn't care about it, but he didn't put the focus on me, me, me. He said, the most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work that the Lord Jesus gave me. And look at what he adds to it. He says, and to tell people the good news about God's grace. My friends today, when you add telling the good news of God's grace into your vision of your life, he will make greater things happen than you ever thought he could. And by being that person and sharing that with the world, God begins to work just beautiful things in you. And it's not just for a few. It's for each and every one of you. Ephesians 2:10, Paul says, we are God's workmanship. We are all. When Ryan got up today and said, who's a minister? You're all a minister. You're all called by God to make a difference in somebody's life. You're his workmanship to do something great. And when you do that, he will open doors for you that you think are impossible. He will fight battles for you that you are unable to fight in your own strength. He will give favor into your life like you could never imagine. And that's why, again, water baptism is so important. And if you've been saved and you've never been water baptized, you know, I've had people over the years come up to me and say, hey, can you just, I don't want to get water baptized in front of everybody. I just want to, just meet me somewhere. There's a creek and I'll just go down there and you can do it there. No, because that's the purpose of it. For the world to see that you have accepted Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Not that you're perfect. I said not that you're perfect. But that you identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you haven't been water baptized and you're saved, you need to do that next week. You need to write your name up on that big white board in the back there. And be here Thursday night when I teach about it. Because God's going to do something great and powerful in your life. Let me just close with these thoughts. Telling of what Jesus has done needs to be a part of the vision for our life. Listen, first you got to make a difference in your own world. You got to start in your own family. Mark 5:19, New Century Version, I like this. Go home to your family and your friends. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. My brothers and my sisters, you got to start at home. One time when we were first meeting together as a church, we started in our home. And I meet so many people say, no, where did the city church really start? I said, it started in our home. No, who was the pastor before you came? Why? It started in a house. One day, it was in the wintertime, and it was snowing and blowing. And nobody came except my father-in-law and my three sons who had to come because they lived in my house. And I'm in my office. I'm discouraged. And my wife came in. She goes, okay, honey, we're ready. We're ready to start church. And I looked at her. I swung around in my chair. I said, honey, I'm not going out there. She goes, what do you mean? Dad's here. The boys are here. I'm here. Without all that blondie, cheery stuff, you know. I'm here. I said, I'm not going out there. It's just your dad and the kids. Who are we kidding, honey? I'm not doing it anymore. She took a step back. She cranked herself back. And if she ever cranks herself back to you, you'll know it. She said, you pick up that Bible and you get out there. That's the best congregation that you'll ever speak to in your life. Whew. I thought for a moment, and then she cranked up at me again, and I said, I'm coming, honey. Let me tell you something. She was right. That's the best congregation. You got to start in your home before you can start anywhere else. Come on, I ought to hear a good amen on that today. Mom and dads, tell your kids about the mercy that God has had in your life, how he has helped you, how he is still helping you, and how he will continue to help you and them when they trust you. One of the greatest moments of my life as a grandfather was a little over 5 years ago. I was sitting in the side yard by my house. Go ahead and put the picture up, Polly. I had all my five grandkids there, and I was sitting there, and I was telling them how God had helped me through a mess in my life. I was so emotional yesterday. I told my wife, I was crying, putting my socks on. She goes, what's wrong? I said, I got almost 8,000 pictures on my phone. I looked at them all yesterday. I was emotional. I looked at this picture. I was thinking about the day. I was thinking about the mess that my life was and how God had changed me and he touched me and he made all things new. Let me tell you something. You can't imagine that never happened when I was a child at that age. And I began to tell those kids, and one by one, it started with Gabe, the oldest. He began to cry, and then Judah, and Jamin, and then little Ryan began to cry. And all of a sudden, it gets down at the end, and my youngest grandson, Andrew, he's looking around. He pulls a can of pop out that he knifed out of the refrigerator earlier that he didn't tell his parents or his grandparents. It's in the morning, and he's going to drink a soda. He pulls that can of pop out. He pops that thing. He goes, I don't know why all of you are crying. Let's have a drink together here. Come on. That's the mercy of God. Let your friends, let your family know. Let the people see God's love through you. Let them hear your mess ups. Brad, I'm so proud of you Thursday night. Tell them people about your mess ups. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of so many of you. And that's what God is calling you and I to. Proverbs 3:27, never walk away from someone who deserves your help. Your hand is God's hand for that person. Never tell your neighbors to wait until tomorrow if you can help them right now. You got neighbors that maybe need help. You got somebody around you. Quit waiting for someone else. Well, they ought to do this and they ought to do that. You ought to do this and you ought to do that. Second, make a difference beyond your world. 1 Corinthians 9:22, whatever a person is like, I try to find common ground with him so they will let me tell him about Christ and let Christ save. And Paul, in New King James, you might understand it, I become all things to all men that I might win son. You and I will never know the impact that you have on a particular individual at a certain time. I saw somebody this week I hadn't seen in years. She runs up to me. She hugs me. She's crying. She goes, you will never know the difference and the impact that you and your wife made that night when you saw me at Dunkin' Donuts. She told me that. I walked away and she was crying and hugging me and I'm, God bless you. And I walked away and I thought to myself, I have no idea what you're talking about. But do you know what the reality of it is? God doesn't wait for everything to be perfect. You don't get up someday and say, okay, I've got time in my schedule now from 10 a.m. to 10:45. God, if you want to use me, just send somebody to me and I'll do whatever I need to. But after that, I'm busy. He will call you at the busiest moment in your life, when you're stretched the most. When you got the least amount of resource, God help us when we have plenty and we don't do more than we can do at that moment. Because when you serve the Lord with all of your heart, he will allow you to get on empty. And then he'll say, come, I want you to do this right now. And that is the moment is that song, letting go, not knowing what's ahead of me. But that's when the power of Jesus comes into our lives and transforms us and changes us into his image. And then lastly, make a difference in the whole world. You know, I'd like to think that everybody could or should go on a mission trip sometime in their life, because it makes you a bigger person. Because it stretches you. That's why. It makes you uncomfortable. Whether an international trip or a national trip, I think you should embark on that. I got back just a few weeks ago. I was speaking at the World Missions Alliance 20th anniversary conference in Bentonville, Arkansas. How many of you have ever been to Bentonville? Oh, Carol was there. I had the best cup of coffee at the nicest coffee shop I've ever been into in my life in Bentonville, Arkansas. And at that conference, I spoke at it for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years now. There's these little African-American ladies. There was three of them. One went home to be with the Lord this year. They show up every year. They're in their 90s. They go on an international trip every year. They told Chuck and Helen they want to die on the missions field. I said, that's not me. I want to die home. I met them 5 years ago. We were in Ireland. And that was the first time Paul Amendola went on a mission trip. They got a hold of him. They had their hands all over him, praying for him. They're in their 90s. They're going into all the world. You know what kept them living? They had a vision to tell others about Jesus Christ. You want to live long? You want to have the blessing of God on your life? Maybe not every one of you can go, but you could start going right where you are. You can go over to 114 Liberty on Tuesday nights. You could go to 15 Center Street to the food pantry on Thursdays and Saturdays, where the team there is feeding 400 to 500 people a month. You can help out in the clothing connection. The people there that are putting clothes on people that have nothing. You can tell others about the love of Jesus. And maybe going across the pond isn't you. But Jesus said in Mark 16:15, go everywhere into the world and tell the good news to everyone. And let God stretch you. Mark 10:29. I'm closing with this. Let me assure you that no one has ever given up anything for the love of me to tell others the good news who won't be given back 100 times over. You give to God. You give your life to him. You surrender everything to him. He will not be indebted to you. He will bless you 100 times over. Come on, how many of you want to buy into that program today? Let God bless your life. Let him give you a vision to talk about who he is to others. Father, I just want to say thank you this morning for your love and your power and your grace that is in this house right now to do good to each and every one. Prayer people, just come on down to the altar if you would. Thank you, Lord, for every life. I believe today with all of my heart, this is a moment for somebody's life. Things are changing today. Brand new is coming into your life. For some of you, you need that power to let go and to go forward. He's here to help you with that. For some of you, you need to bring Jesus into everything you're doing. Is he really Lord of every area of your life? God, help us, each one of us. Lord, lay that on our heart today. May that become real to our lives, I pray. Let it begin in our lives today, I ask, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen. I love you a lot. Now listen, if you haven't been water baptized, sign up. Make sure you know next week we're going to do one service right here, 10 a.m., and then we're going to have lunch next door. You can bring anybody you want with you. Bring your friend. This is a great, you want to take somebody out to lunch, you can do it. You don't even have to pay for it. Get them here and watch God work in their lives. If you need prayer, come on down. I love you. Go in God's grace today. He's got a great plan for your life. Love on others as you're leaving too. Make sure you tell our police officer how much we appreciate him being here, okay? I love you.